ginger hair, it's not the same for you. In another life, maybe, you might be ginger and free. Hello, 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 and welcome to this edition of A Quick Pint. Now, that is a quote from the song Ginger by David Devont and his spirit wife from the 1990s. And I quote that because I've been asked a very interesting question, and that is, why are ginger-haired girls so attractive? Now, I must say, I must caveat before I answer this by saying I'm not sure I agree with the premise of the question. I mean, freckles, for one thing, and ginger pubes, as they noted in the 1990s comedy Game On, they rather put one in mind of sort of tangerine candy floss. So I'm not sure about that, but it is certainly true that a proportion of men do find ginger-haired girls attractive, and that is not the case in reverse. Females tend to specifically find ginger-haired men unattractive. So why do males, or at least a proportion of males, find ginger-haired women attractive? What's the evolutionary dynamics of ginger hair? Well, the first way it can be understood is simply on the basis of general evolution. Ginger hair goes together, is relatively light. It goes together with very, very pale skin. And so in an environment in which it is dark for much of the year, there's not much sunlight, it is obviously adaptive to be able to have something that allows you to absorb the sunlight very substantially via your skin and via the hair and synthesize this into vitamin D. And so then you're healthier. And so this militates in favor of very light skin, of very light hair, including blonde hair, but also ginger hair, and of relatively light eyes. Now, an alternative or parallel explanation has been presented by Peter Frost in his paper European Hair and Eye Colour. And he argues, he looks at it in terms of sexual selection that was very, very specific to Northern Europe. In essence, we are hunter-gatherers and it's very, very cold. For a significant proportion of the year, the only food that is available is big game. This big game, these are large, highly mobile herbivores that move over long distances. There is no other source of food. And so this places the females hugely reliant on the males, hugely reliant on the males. And the males have to go off in these bands and kill these massive big game and come back. And there's no alternative food source. Now, what happens in this context, of course, is that lots of males get killed. Lots of males get killed. So there is a massive, massive shortage of males and far too many females. What this naturally leads to is runaway sexual selection among females. Of course, the females are going to want to sexually select, we've looked at this before, for high status among the men, because high status indicates high intelligence, indicates pro-social personality, and indicates basically good genes, because these things are selected for concomitantly, and therefore they tend to go together. And so this means that their child will be more likely to survive, more likely to be genetically healthy in that ecology, and also it means that the high status man is more likely to be able to invest in them and to be able to, and will invest in them, and so they and their offspring are more likely to survive. So they're sexually selecting for the highest status man in polygamous mating systems, and there's just far too few men. And so what this leads to is runaway sexual selection. How does this manifest? Well, it manifests, first of all, in terms of novelty. Males, relative to females, are fast life history strategists. If you live in an unstable ecology in which you could be wiped out at any minute, then you might as well be attracted, unpredictable ecology, you might as well be attracted to something that's novel. Because something that's novel, something that's unusual, something that's different, may well be adaptive in some way. You might as well gamble on something that's novel. So men are attracted to something that's novel, so you get then the selection for novel traits that then manifest, such as blue eyes, such as blonde hair, such as very pale skin, or whatever it happens to be. That's the first thing. Secondly, as this is sexual selection and it's in the man's interest, these can be seen on the female part as honesty signals of her genetic health. In particular, with something like pale skin and with it shows aging more quickly. You can see the wrinkles in a way that is harder with dark skin. And so you get runaway selection on pale skin. And this may be one of the reasons, it's not the only reason, why women on average tend to have paler skin than males. Another reason, of course, is that males males are higher in testosterone, and testosterone militates in favour of darker skin. But and that's then interesting in itself, because then having very, very pale skin becomes an indicator of oestrogen, becomes an indicator of femininity, and that would be yet another reason why ginger women would be attractive, because they've got very pale skin, and very pale skin is sexy, because very pale skin indicates high levels of oestrogen that you're very feminised. But then the next thing is that the gingerness comes along. Now, we know that gingerness is the most recent of the various hair adaptations. It's the most recent. And so it's the most novel, and so therefore it's the most unusual, and so men are going to find it attractive. And what you have then, for that reason alone, and what you have then with gingerness is what's called frequency-dependent selection, i.e. various factors come together to make sure that only a small proportion of the population are ever ginger. Of course, it's higher in places that are further north and that are very cloudy in the winter and dark, whatever, like England and Ireland and Scotland, but it's still a subject of frequency-dependent selection. And part of the reason for this is because it's new. It's new. It's a mutation. And mutations will tend to go together with other mutations. And most mutations are negative. Some mutations are positive, i.e. gingerness is positive because it's novel and therefore men are interested in it. But most mutations are negative. So what we have with gingerness is it is it's novel in itself. Men select for that. It's associated with estrogen. And that means that women that are ginger are more likely to be highly feminine. And that indicates fertility and just general, you know, femininity that is inherently attractive. And so they select for that. But it also goes together with various problems, in particular, rectal cancer, other kinds of cancer, high susceptibility to pain, endometriosis, which causes infertility, and Parkinson's disease. So this, of course, keeps the level of ginger-haired people in the population low, because it's so new that it, as a mutation, that it hasn't had time yet, as other mutations have, to uncouple from other mutations. So you have frequency-dependent selection, and this means that it remains novel. It remains novel. The level of gingerness does not get too high, that it is no longer novel. Men are sexually attracted to novelty, and it's associated with being highly feminine, with estrogen and so forth, but that itself is causal of rectal cancer. But so this makes them attractive, but it also keeps numbers low, which keeps up the novelty. Males like novelty, they're fast life history strategists, the numbers are kept small. And so this is why ginger women, to the extent it is true, are attractive. They are simply more feminine and they are novel. And these are two things which men, under harsh conditions, are going to select for.
Are you ready for the future of the West?